As we go to the Lord's Word, I invite you to bow your heads with me as we approach this hour with a solemn heart, asking for the Lord to speak to you as He speaks through me. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, take us now into this Word. Give us wisdom from above. Speak to the hearts of your people, that we may not only understand the urgency of the hour, but we will understand what we must do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Inseparable. As I was gauging this COVID-19 crisis, this new environment that we're in, I was gauging what's taking place around us, and I know many of you have been doing the same thing. We've been looking at the social impact, the financial impact, the political impact. But on the heels of all of those is the religious impact. Not just the surrounding environment of the world and the way that people and leaders of other churches and denominations are looking to the future, but the individual spiritual impact. You know, it's easy to praise the Lord when the church is filled and the music is playing and people are saying amen and you feel the Spirit and there's an excitement and an energy in the congregation. But it's something altogether different when you have to watch the service from home, and those of you that are single, or maybe those of you that are widowed, those of you that are by yourself, and then you're told that you can't touch anyone, you have to be socially separated. You wonder how you're going to be socially separated, yet spiritually connected. So the Lord inspired me and encouraged me to bring this message to you, letting you know that in this environment of social separation, we've got to ask the question, how can we remain relevantly, spiritually connected? Because let me add another component. There's a secret component. There's our adversary, the devil. There is the enemy of souls, who seeks on any given day to separate us from the very source and the strength that each one of us is in need of. So think about it. It has become the coined phrase of the COVID-19 pandemic. Citizens of the world community have been directed to socially separate. Countries have closed their borders to other parts of the world. Instead of welcoming travelers, they are now being called outsiders. And with the highest number of COVID virus cases in the United States, it is quickly becoming the divided states. And depending on where you live, you may not be allowed to even enter other states in the United States. I have family that lives in New York City, and I've heard that some people say, well, New Yorkers are not allowed in New Jersey, or New Yorkers are not allowed in Pennsylvania. I heard on the news that New Yorkers were not allowed in Florida. We are being separated in the United States that is quickly becoming the divided states. And with all the varying restrictions in this country, is America still one nation under God? Think about it. Our world has become a place where we are sequestered behind our masks. Just recently in our small town here in southern Illinois, we are in a town of just about little more than 500 people. But the restraint of going out into society, we were told to go out, you have to have your mask. And we went to Walmart, only to notice that now at the checkout counter where you normally would just put your card in and type in your amount on the keypad, now we notice there's a large clear shield separating the customer from the cashier. That's the new environment. That's presently the new normal. We are living behind our mask. And we don't shake hands anymore. Hugs are at an all-time low. And we say hello from a distance, as it were this morning, as we gather in our computer cathedrals. 6 feet is no longer just your height, but it's the regulation of separation in this new COVID environment. This is the hour of masks and face shields. These are the days of separation. So let me pose a question. In a time of separation, how does the prayer of Jesus remain relevant in a society, in a world where we are told 6 feet and no closer, stay behind the yellow line, don't go out without the mask, stand back, don't cough into your elbow. In this kind of environment where separation is the coined phrase, how does the prayer of Jesus remain relevant? Look at John chapter 17, if you have your Bibles, verses 20 and 21. Here is the prayer of Christ. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. And look at how it ends. That the world may believe that you sent me. What Jesus is saying is in a united church, there is a witness to the world that Christ is in our midst. But is Christ still in our midst when we are a divided church? When the church is at a different address? When the church is on the fourth floor in a high-rise tenement? When the church is maybe sequestered in a one-room apartment somewhere? Wherever the people of God are gathered, and let's take it to the next level. We have been told where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. But is he still there with one? Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, doesn't matter how many, Jesus said he'll never leave us and never forsake us. So you may be one by yourself, but the Father has promised to us that when he sent his Son to be with us, and when Jesus left, he promised us that when he left, his Spirit will come, and he said, he will abide with you always. But how do we do church in a separated environment? And then what kind of relationship do we have? How can we sustain the energy, the passion? How can we sustain the joy when we can't turn to our brother or sister and say, happy Sabbath, or good to see you this morning? When we can't share our request with someone who maybe said, can I pause and pray with you? When we can't put our hands on the other person's shoulder and say, let me pray for you right now. How does our walk with Christ still survive? Well, let's think about separation for a moment. I'll answer those questions that I just posed. But let's think about separation. Separation is not new. Separation is the product of conflict. And the Lord is very aware of separation. Let's see how separation began. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. Let us peek behind the curtain of separation and see how it began. Now, when I read this passage, I want you to notice that separation didn't begin in the earth. Separation began in heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And the Bible says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael, that is Christ, Michael meaning the highest, the one above the angels, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Every time I get to that scripture, I say, praise the Lord, Satan did not win, and he's not going to win. As a matter of fact, he knows he has a short time, but the scripture continues. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now watch this. The separation that took place, one-third of the angels were ostracized, were put out with Satan, and he brought his attitude of separation to the earth. Look at verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. And look at what he did. Who deceives the whole world? He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The devil was separated from God. The angels was separated from their former home. And they brought with them a mentality of separation. And sad to say, they've been studying you. They've been studying me. And the number one aim is not just to affect the society in which we live, not just to bring disease and separation and war and crime and violence, but the number one aim of Satan, it's illustrated right here. He wants to separate those who are on his side from those who are on the side of the Lord. There are only two sides in this entire controversy. There's not a third category. There's not a third waiting room where we decide to be on Christ's side or the devil's side. The Bible says, and Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that is not gathering with me is scattering abroad. There is no third category. So before I go any further, the only way that you can guarantee that you will never separate from God is you've got to decide whether finances are there or not, whether comfort is there or not, whether you have a job or not. The question is, this morning as we dive back into Romans 8 in just a moment, what will separate you? What possible circumstance can the devil create in your home that will cause you to say, you know what, this God thing is no longer for me? What can happen to you that will cause you to separate? Now, while you're pondering that question, let me make it clear there's only one of the category. It doesn't make sense to separate from Christ as when the disciples, the Bible talked about in John 6, verse 66. What a passage, John 6, 66. It talked about when many disciples turned their backs and decided to walk with Jesus no more. The Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They turned away. And in that kind of setting, the Lord turned to Peter and said, do you also want to leave? And I love what Peter said. He said, Lord, where am I going to go? My brothers and sisters, this morning, there's only one other category. You don't want to join the side of the one who knows he only has a short time. Think about it. In the beginning of this controversy, the devil said, I will be like the Most High. But as the eons have rolled, as the millennia have come and gone, he has seen unmistakably that he's against a force that he'll never defeat. Praise the Lord. He didn't win in heaven. He hasn't won on earth. He will not win on earth. Wherever the kingdom of God is established, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the church is under attack right now. The woman of the dark ages understands what that means. The church of the dark ages understands what that means when millions of Christians preferred to die than to be separated from God. And the present environment has not gone that far. But we will be tested as to see how far we are willing to go to hold on to the only kingdom that remains relevant in this time of separation. Separation begins when opposing principles collide, when truth collides with error, when light collides with darkness. Conflict begins, and the end result is always separation. In this COVID-19 environment, it is imperative that the Christian, you and me, maintain an inseparable connection. But in order to do that, we have to begin here. We have to start with a reliable source of truth. Well, John 17, 17, let us go ahead and see where that reliable source of truth is. The Lord Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify is a word of separation. But it doesn't mean separation from God. It means being separated for a holy purpose. When the Lord sanctifies his people through his word, he's separating them from error. He's separating them from darkness. He's separating them from deception. He's sanctifying them. And the only way that you and I can be sanctified in this time of separation is we've got to stay in our Bibles. I'll say that again. We must stay in the Word of God. My wife and I, we read our Bibles anyway, but we've discovered in this COVID-19 environment, in this new normal, we've been reading our Bibles more than ever before. And I want to tell you, the only way that you can be sustained is when you wake up in the morning, you've got to eat the spiritual food even before you eat the physical food. Just a few days ago, we were reading our Bibles together. We were reading the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 36, 37, and 38. And when we finished reading Psalms, we have the Remnant Bible. And some of you know what I mean by that. It's a Bible with the Ellen White quotes in it. And Ellen White said that so often, even those of us who study the Word of God, we rush into our study. We rush into the day. And after we read, we rush to the work that is ahead of us. We don't pause to listen for the voice of God to impress us. We don't pause to receive instructions from the Almighty God. You know, friends, I've heard this being said before. If we want God to hear us when we speak, we have to be willing to hear God when he speaks. Not only through his word, but he impresses us. In harmony with his word, what kind of decisions should we make in the rest of our day? How should we govern our lives after we have eaten the bread of life? What should we do today? The only way to receive that impression. So my wife and I decided, you know, let's read our Bibles, but let's just sit here. Let's sit and let's close our eyes and meditate on God's word. Not meditate like the world with the but meditate on God's word. And I want to tell you, what a sweet experience that was. We had soft music playing in the background, some nice spiritual piano music. And we were just thinking about what we just read in God's word. And I want to tell you, oh, how sweet it is to be in the presence of God, to know that he is there to be in our presence. In his presence, he can be in our presence. What a wonderful thing it is. So when the Lord says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, he is saying, in this time of separation, do not get separated from God's word. Do not get separated from the truth of God's word. Consider the benefit of truth. Truth is a shelter from acrimonious opinions. That means conflicting opinions. Truth is a fortification against media and social bias. Wow, that's a big one. Because today, even in the midst of this COVID environment, there are many people that said, well, I've looked at my network and your network. Let me tell you something. You can go to ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, Al Jazeera, BBC. You know what? They're all singing the same song. Everybody on every continent is in the same crisis. COVID-19, as one commentator said, is like a slow-moving hurricane blowing across the landscape of all of humanity, from North America to South America, from Europe to Asia, from Russia all the way down to Australia, Africa, Argentina. It's everywhere. A slow-moving hurricane taking society captive as it moves across the landscape of humanity. When your source is God's word, there will be no media and social bias because the word of God is just like him. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also, truth keeps our minds unblemished when our eyes are distracted. I know my eyes have been distracted somewhat. It gets distracted. When you hear about the number of people losing their lives, surely there has to be some pain within your heart. When you see that 700 people in New York City, 900 people in Italy and other parts of the world, when you count the amount of people dying as the clock ticks, I was watching my wife one day as we sat and watched the news, and they said just in the last 24 hours, and they mentioned the unfortunate death toll, and I could not help but to think, how many in that group passed away without giving his or her life to Jesus? How many of them heard the voice of God calling them and ignored that call only to have their lives close with a record stained by sin? My brothers and my sisters, truth is given to us to keep our minds unblemished when our eyes are distracted. Truth also aligns us with an unwavering God and not with vacillating man. What do I mean by that? You know, men, their opinions change from day to day. The feelings change from day to day. I look at the news. I'm a former New Yorker. Let me just rephrase that. I am a New Yorker living in Southern Illinois. If you were raised in New York, you're never a former New Yorker because my mindset is always there. Someone sent me a link the other day, and they said, look at Times Square. And this is from an Earth Cam. And I thought to myself, is this my Times Square? Is this Manhattan? I was shocked when I looked at the city streets of a city that never sleeps, Manhattan. I saw the billboards, the lights were still flashing, but the only other lights flashing were police emergency vehicles, police cars, police motorcycles, police vans. All the emergency vehicles were sliding by, and just a spatter of a car every now and then. Manhattan, the city that never sleeps, in this COVID environment, that city itself is also sleeping. But the question is why? You see, friends, God is trying to get the attention of humanity. When the ball stadiums are closed, and the movie theaters are closed, and the amusement parks are closed, and the clubs are closed, and the places where people party are closed, and the schools are closed, the Lord is saying, this is just a glimpse of where the world is actually headed. Because the day of Noah is like our day. People were eating and drinking, but now the restaurants are closed. Only the drive-thru is open. Your favorite restaurant, you can't even go and sit down and look across the table at your loved one and have a meal in a restaurant. It's closed. The Lord is giving us a glimpse of the kind of world that is just ahead of us. This is a taste, or as my sister-in-law said, this is a fire drill. We are going through a fire drill. That's why truth creates unity with those who maintain a divine focus. Maintain your divine focus. When you're focusing on God's word, you will be in harmony with your brothers and sisters who have the same focus. Truth also is not preoccupied by one chapter in the history of man. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you realize that this is not the first pandemic? There was a pandemic all the way back as far as the 5th and 6th century. It was called the Justinian Plague. This is not the first one. Millions died then. And then the bubonic plague, or the Black Death of Europe, that wiped out one-third of its population. And then it resurged in America in the 1900s, killing thousands in California. And now we have the pandemic that has now taken the entire world by storm. This is not the first storm. God is not in heaven saying, what do I do next? Praise God for that. He's not in heaven wondering, what's next on my agenda? How can we combat COVID-19? Let me say it this way. COVID-19 has to try to find out how to combat God, because he said in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. And here's what God says, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Can I translate that? No disease, no war, no bloodshed, no violence can ever say to God, stop, you can't do what you desire. God said, no. Disease, I'm going to still do all my pleasure. Crime and violence, my plan is still the supreme plan. I wrote the script. I know how it's going to work out. And let me make it clear, God is not controlling the affairs of men, but he sees the end from the beginning. He's always a step ahead of the enemy and Satan, who initially said, I will be like the Most High. Well, ask him what he's saying now. Ask the devil what he's saying now. He says, he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he knows he has a short time. My brother and sister, if you align yourself with Christ, you don't have a short time. I'm an amateur astronomer. Let me tell you how amateur I am. I don't own a telescope. My telescope is my computer screen. My iPad is my telescope. That's as amateur as you can get. Every now and then I'd open up my iPad on the darkness of the midnight in our bed, my wife and I, and I'd say, honey, let's look at this. And I turn the lights off and I open my iPad to one of my favorite astronomy programs. Remember, astronomy, not astrology. And I look at the planets and I like to look at varying constellations and stars far away. And I remember one day saying to my wife, she said, how far away is that? And I said, well, it's 300 and X amount of light years away. She said to me, we'll never see that. I said, no. We'll never see it? No, we will see it. You know, we will see it. We will see it because God says, he says, I love it. He says, I hath not seen yet, nor ear heard yet, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Let me tell you, friends, one day God is going to raise the curtain on eternity. And he says, while people are fighting over planet Earth, I've got countless galaxies. I've got countless constellations. Astronomers have said that they believe that there are billions of galaxies. But let me modify that. They've come to that conclusion only because they've been able to focus their telescopes in a certain area. But there are many areas they have not even focused on yet. And Hubble, as great as it is, can only travel but so far. God has not unveiled the universe that sits before us. So don't waste your life on a planet in rebellion that's temporarily, shortly crumbling like a wet cookie in a cup of hot chocolate. Don't waste your life in a world that's disintegrating by the moment. And we think that it's going to get better. Oh, no, we'll never go back to the world like it was before COVID-19. That's why we have to keep ourselves dedicated and know how the story ends. Jesus has told us. I was discouraged when I heard COVID-19 come up, but I thought, wait a minute, John. But you know how the story ends. You know that Jesus wins. You understand the book of Revelation. Now, I don't hold myself out as the authority, but I understand that in the end, there are only two words, Jesus wins. That's all I need to know. The end from the beginning, when it's all said and done, Jesus wins. This COVID environment that has dominated the news network. When you think about it, friends, below the surface of every news broadcast is man's frailty. But when we consult God's word, we won't suffer from what I call pandemic distraction. Have you heard that before? Pandemic distraction. The only thing worse than the pandemic is pandemic distraction. Let me tell you a story. I read a story recently about a little boy who was leading his sister up a mountain path. And the mountain path was a little too easy. So his sister said to him, little girl, little boy, she said, this is not a path at all. It's rocky and it's bumpy. And her little brother thought to himself, well, duh, that's what a mountain is. And so he paused as he continued on their journey, only long enough to say to his little sister, of course it's rocky and bumpy. The bumps are what we climb on. The rocks are what we walk on. Brothers and sisters, we are living in rocky times. Jesus never said the road would be smooth. We live in a bumpy and rocky society. But if you hold on to the hand of God, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, nothing is impossible. What we need to do in this rocky environment, in this bumpy world where nothing is smooth, where nothing is flat, except the promises of the devil. They never accomplish what he promises. In this environment, we've got to hold on to the hand of our Father. He's the only one that can lead us through the rough terrains of the future. And so it is not possible to walk in the light of God's word and stumble on the bumps of this world. Here's the reason I know that to be true. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 130. Here's why we must stay in the word of God. David the psalmist says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives understanding. What does that mean? That means when you don't understand what's going on around you, when you cannot find an answer or a reason for this crumbling society, consult God's word. He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He said there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. No surprise to God. Pestilence? This is not the first disease. And if the world lasts long enough, I can guarantee you this may not be the last one. But when you study God's word, the things that are not sensible and makes no difference to the world, all of a sudden, I'll borrow a phrase from one of our other programs, it comes into a sharper focus. We understand, we can see that the Lord says all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then he talks about the wars, the rumors of wars, the disease, and then he says these are the beginning of sorrows. So don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on God. COVID-19 is a massive rock, but God is still the rock of ages. Notice Isaiah 44 verse 8. It says, do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declare it? You are my witnesses. And then the Bible says, is there a God beside me? I love it. Indeed, there is no other rock. There is no other rock. As I can use a phrase loosely, I know not one. David said, I know not one. I'm looking around and I don't see any other rock. Can I use this phrase? Jesus is the rock that will not roll. He's the sure foundation. He is the shelter in the time of storm. He's the foundation upon which the church has been established. And when the waves and the winds of life begin to beat with vehement force against the foundation of the church, he says, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. My brother, my sister, while you're in your computer church, while you're sequestered behind the screen of complacent isolation, remember, God is saying to you, this is the hour that you must determine that you will remain inseparable. You will stay firm. You won't allow anything to separate you. Income, what's income? When God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he'll make sure that all your needs are provided. I know that. This is the generation worried about toilet paper, TP. How amazingly short-sighted can we get when the greatest concern is, do I have enough TP? Well, if you got the Lord Jesus, he never runs out of supply. He will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. He promised that. And not only that, he said, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that men can ask or think. Why? According to the power that is at work in us. When the power of God is working in us, the powers outside of us can never defeat the power that is within us. Praise the Lord. There is no other rock. That's why he instructs us in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Don't look at the news. Notice what he says. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I pray for our president. We pray for your prime minister. We pray for political leaders around the world. We pray for those in parliament, those in England, those in Australia, those in the Asian countries, those in South America. We pray for all the leaders, but I want to tell you, don't forget, there's really only one God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's only one God. Look to him and be saved, for he is God and there is no other. Which brings me to the summary of my first point. Choose the Word of God as your reliable source. In the book, Great Controversy, page 593, listen to these words. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test. Shall I obey God rather than man? And then the servant of the Lord says, the decisive hour is even at hand. The hour of decision is even at hand. If you were ever plunged into a circumstance where you had to choose between temporary sustenance and eternal life, where will you stand? But I want to also transition briefly, because we've been so distracted by COVID-19 statistics that we are not taking into consideration the environmental metamorphosis that's taking place in the world today. Consider the broader picture. Now, we see the disease, we see the loss of life, we see the crumbling economies, but notice what else is happening. I wrote these articles down just to share with you, and I want you to tune your ears to listen to this. Let's consider the environmental impact. India's environmental impact. The article says the Himalayas, those beautiful mountains in India. The Himalayas can be seen from parts of India for the first time in 30 years after pollution dropped due to the 21-day coronavirus lockdown. What are they saying? I continue. The mountains can be seen 125 miles away. The 21-day lockdown to stop the spread of COVID-19 pandemic has also cleared the shuttering factories and the pollution from traffic jam streets of India. In other words, they're saying, wait a minute, automobile travel is at an all-time low in India. Smog from the exhaust pipes is at an all-time low. And for the first time, people are now taking pictures of the Himalayas and posting them on the internet, because he said, we can finally see the Himalayas from 125 miles away. Something positive in a negative environment, but not just India. Consider the environmental impact on Italy. And I read again, the COVID-19 pandemic has crippled Italy, but amid the fears and sickness, Italy's countrywide quarantine has led at least to one uplifting consequence. Venice's usually dark and murky waterways have turned noticeably clearer since the canal motorboats are not running and the air is also clear. I heard that on the news and I thought, is this really true? So I went to the internet. There's some good things on the internet. I went to the internet and saw the videos. The canal waterways in Venice. Yeah, the waterways. Those are the streets of Venice, Italy. The waterways. Those little gondolas and motorboats. The water is clear. They said they can see through the waters for the first time in decades because all the boats are parked. They're able to see the natural life. They are able to see from the surface to the bottom of the water. The Lord is shutting down the world. You know, friends, think about this. One day God is going to shut down humanity for 1,000 years. And nature itself is going to begin to replenish itself. But on the heels of that 1,000 years, God is going to recreate the earth. There is an environmental impact. And these positive environmental impacts are speaking to leaders. But let me continue. Let me share about other environmental impacts. This one, Los Angeles environmental impact. Very short and to the point. The Los Angeles skies are smog-free and atmospheric pollution is down due to the statewide lockdown. No planes landing in LAX, minimal if any. The highways are primarily clear. All traffic jams are, there are no traffic jams. Smog is low, and somebody posted a picture of Los Angeles, and you can see as far as eyes could. They did the comparison between prior to LA, prior to the COVID-19, and then after and during the COVID-19. When the COVID-19 did not occur, the skyline looked brown, hazy. But in the COVID-19 environment, you can see for miles the clear blue skies. God is saying to humanity, you are destroying my planet. I want to give you a glimpse of what my world looked like before the interruption of sin. I also noticed that there's an impact on the Beijing city in China. NASA satellite imagery showed clear skies above the normally smog-filled city of Beijing. And then Business Insider magazine, April 2020 edition, reads as follows. Listen, social distancing might not just slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. It might also give the environment a break from the pollution of modern life. Cities across the globe have reported reductions in air pollution as daily life has come to a grinding halt because of the pandemic. Now, these are positive things, but let me share something with you. I'm about to make a turn on you that you didn't see coming. The positive impact of the climate by the COVID-19 lockdown has not been missed by scientists, climatologists, environmentalists, and also religionists. I want you to get that. Scientists, climatologists, environmentalists, praise God for a clear environment. But on the other side, the religious impact is coming because religionists are saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. If we can get one day a week where we can shut the world down, as Pope Francis has been campaigning for, it seemed as though, almost 10 years. He's been campaigning for a day, quote, of environmental restoration and worship. Let me ask you the question. What day do you think Pope Francis will recommend for a day of environmental restoration and worship? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Okay, moment's over. Sunday. He is pushing to establish Sunday on a political and religious plane as the day of environmental restoration and worship. But the amazing thing about it is if you go back a couple of hundred years, you will say to yourself, oh, Protestants will never go for that. Evangelicals will never consider merging with the papacy. But there's a different environment now. Many of the great, well-known evangelical leaders are saying, wait a minute, we have more in common with Rome than we do not have in common. They are merging. Already as of 1994, there was a pact written, evangelicals and Catholics into the new millennium. And just a couple of years ago, less than 2 years ago, they met in Kansas City, Kansas, to iron out the finer details of how Catholicism and evangelicalism can merge together in this new third millennium for the betterment of mankind. And sadly enough, the Bible says they will give their power and authority to the beast for 1 hour, Revelation 17. They are looking for ways to change the landscape of religion after COVID-19. That's why, friends, on the heel of the present climate, it's just a matter of time. Look around you. Listen to the heartbeat. Look at the news. Right now, we're in the midst of the Easter weekend. This is Easter weekend. I have to make a choice between talking about the resurrection of Christ. Well, I always talk about the risen Savior all the time. He's in the world today. Praise God for that. But I want to go a little deeper than that. Because right now, as I'm standing here on this Sabbath morning, April 11th, I don't like the date of program, but the date is significant for a particular reason. This Easter weekend, one of the main concerns in evangelical circles and Catholic circles is, can we have an Easter service on Sunday? And not too long ago, our president said, hey, wouldn't it be nice to open the churches on Easter Sunday? But the scientists and the medical professionals said, the worst thing you can do at a time when the COVID virus 19 has not yet been disbanded is to open people up for intentional infection and a possible increase on the number of cases. So they decided, we're not going to have it. But make no mistake about it. Sunday has risen to the forefront as the day of environmental restoration and worship. And it's just a matter of time before Sunday will be universally honored and legislatively recognized as religious and agreed upon as the day of rest and worship. Just look around you. What day are people saying we should close on? Not Tuesday, not Friday, not Saturday. My wife and I lived in California for a number of years, and I remember going to Macy's once when they had a Macy's White Flower Day sale. And guess what day the sale was on? Not Sunday, but on Saturday. And I remember saying to the sales personnel, we wanted to buy a vacuum cleaner. And they said, well, it goes on sale on Saturday, get this, between 10 and 2. Well, what am I doing between 10 and 2? Well, not all the way to 2 o'clock, except when I get highly inspired. Well, what am I doing between 10 and 2 on Sabbath? I'm in church. So I said to the sales personnel, I said, you know, we'd love to buy this vacuum. She said, well, come back tomorrow. I said, I cannot come back tomorrow. She says, why not? I said, because I'm a pastor and I attend church on Sabbath. I'll be preaching during this time tomorrow. She said, oh? I said, but let me suggest something. Do you realize how many people you have just ostracized? You have shut down the entire Seventh-day Adventist community and those who keep the Bible Sabbath, not traditional Sunday. And you've also ostracized the entire Jewish community. Do you realize how much money you're losing in this restrictive sale? And the glint of capitalism came into the person's eye. They thought about it. It's okay. I tell you what, sir, you can buy the vacuum. We'll give it to you at the sales price. Praise the Lord. Here's my point. When you stand for truth, God will open doors that men have put a lock on. Only God has the key to the doors, financial, social, spiritual, and political. But here's where we are. In every crisis, there's a cadence for final movements. And the stage for the social impact has already been set. You see it, the deaths, the disease, the impact. The second stage, economic impact, 16 million filing for unemployment just in America. Stage three, the political impact. As I spoke to one of my friends in politics, I said, how do you feel when you wake up in the morning when you can't see your constituents? I said, do you feel helpless? He said, somewhat. That's the political impact. But like a table with four legs, the picture is incomplete without the fourth leg. And that fourth leg is the religious impact. And once again, I don't believe it's coincidental because God raised up America for a particular purpose. And right now, America is at the forefront, once again, ground zero for the impact of the COVID-19 virus. America is the ground zero, not only of the COVID-19 impact, but America is the ground zero where the issue of worship is going to be fought. The issue that will polarize this country, and then eventually the evangelical and Catholic community, and then the entire world together. How do I know? Here's how I know. I've not been socially distracted. I've been spiritually focused. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. The Bible tells us how it's going to work out. This is about this great country called America. Revelation 13, verse 11. And the Bible says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." Let me pause. "And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence," or before him, as the King James Version says, "and causes the earth, not just America, and those who dwell in it, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Let me break that down. On the heels of the decline of Rome during the Dark Ages, specifically 1798, as Rome's power was declining, there was another power coming up. The Bible refers to it as two horns like a lamb, but speaking like a dragon. How conflicting can the picture be? A lamb that speaks like a dragon? The dragon is the devil, the serpent of old, Satan. Have you ever seen a lamb speak like a dragon? Now, what are the two horns? When America came into prominence, when America declared its independence in 1776, these two gifts were in our Constitution. We had a republic. What is a republic? A democratic society by the people, for the people. A government that was grassroots on up. You see, our political leaders exist not because they want to, but because we vote them in office. But that was not the case in Europe. In Europe was a dominant society, a dominating church. The Church of Rome dominated the world for 1,260 years. But as God was bringing the Roman church down, God was raising up America. America offered us two things. One horn was a republic, a government by the people for the people. Not a theocracy, not a dominating, persecuting religious environment like it was in Europe during the Dark Ages. But the second thing that God gave to America, not only a political society by the people for the people, but God gifted America with something called religious liberty. The freedom to worship what you believe. As I stand here today, in America right now, you could be Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Catholic. You can worship trees and rocks. That's the freedom of this nation. However, the present climate in America is being pushed. There is an evangelical Catholic agenda. And the environment is far more toxic than COVID-19. Far more damaging and devastating, because while we're worrying about that disease, there's another crisis developing to the right. Not just social and financial and political, but there's a bridge being built, a religious bridge being built that's going to take this lamb-like beast. Why lamb? Because the lamb is Christ Jesus. This Christian nation, you hear it all the time. What amazes me about this Christian nation is, if we are so Christian, why do these evangelical leaders not do something about the rising crime of the rising stench of pollution in our country? What kind of pollution am I talking about? Immorality. Why do these evangelical leaders not sign a bill to close all the bars in the liquor places where more people have died in the same period of time from alcoholism and drug abuse than they have in the COVID-19? Why are they not pushing the closing of these smut shops and pornography magazines? Why are they not shutting down the internet from the things polluting the minds of our young people? Why? Because behind that engine of those claiming to believe God's word, it says they'll speak like a dragon. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. When you read Revelation 13, the power of Rome was motivated by the same dragon. The dragon gave Rome its power and its seat and its great authority. Who else could be behind a power that kills 50 million plus Christians? But as America rises up as a Christian nation, a nation where we have liberty and a republic, all of a sudden, when we merge again, when politics and religion finds the same common ground, the very persecuting power, that's why it says, this nation will exercise all the authority of the first beast in its present. And the very thing that Rome did during the Dark Ages, America will fall in suit and do the very same thing. Persecute those who choose not to coalesce with the environment that's developing around them. What's the environment? You just read Matthew 24. When the Bible says about the pestilence and wars and earthquakes and rumors of wars, it says these are the beginning of sorrow. But then it says, then the next thing is you are on the agenda. You will be hated of all nations for the sake of Christ. So look at the social, financial, and political unity. But the next bridge being built is that of religious unity. God's church is about to go through a time of testing unlike anything that has ever faced, because the final stage in this religious globalization is talked about in Revelation 13. But let's see why it'll go this direction. Look at Revelation 18. How could America go in the direction that it will? Revelation 18 and verse 3. Speaking about this power, this Babylonian power that unites the world economically and politically and religiously and financially, here's what the Bible says. Revelation 18, verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Translate. Who is this her in Revelation? None other than the resurrected religio-political system of the Dark Ages led by the Church of Rome. None other than the Church of the Dark Ages. But notice how the Bible describes it. The wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now let's understand, why fornication? Because during the Dark Ages, this is the power that claimed to be connected to God. But when you looked at all the things instituted by the Church of Rome, God was saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. Those are not the offspring of my connection. That's the offspring of somebody else. That church, as it were, as Revelation says, that church is Jezebel, not the pure woman. She's in bed with somebody other than me, if I could use that picture. In other words, the child coming from a system claiming to be connected to God is really being exposed as a system of immorality. God is not behind false doctrines. God is not behind deceptive practices. But even deeper than that, it is saying this church has an influence politically and religiously that has caused the kings of the earth to join her. And the merchants of the earth, those controlling the rise and fall of the stock market, the multi-billionaires, the multi-trillionaires, if I can use that phrase or that description, those controlling the economy of the world have joined with her. And what has happened? Unitedly, they have become rich through the abundance of her luxuries. Politically and religiously, there's a coalescing taking place, and we are told where the final movements would head. Evangelism. Page 234, paragraph 2. Listen. When Protestant churches shall unite with the secular power to sustain a false religion, for opposing which their ancestors endured the fierce persecution, then will the papal Sabbath be enforced by the combined authority of church and state. There will be a national apostasy which will end only in national ruin. That's America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Are you brave in the midst of the COVID-19 virus? Or are you thinking about ways of finding relief somewhere else? The danger that we face is not just social separation. It is separation from God. And when the tide turns and your well-being and your life is at stake, the question is, what then? Look at Romans 8 and verse 35, the scripture reading that we had earlier. This is the issue of the message. The Apostle Paul tightens the focus. In this developing environment of persecution and separation and religious dominance and political control and financial control, he's asking the question. Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Look at the categories. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What a list. Tribulation, you can't buy or sell. Is that going to separate you when your economy is now controlled by the choices you make to follow church or Christ, to follow state or Christ? Distress, I don't know where my meal is coming from. I can't get access to my bank accounts. Persecution, when the state and the church unites and turns against those who are following Christ. Famine, I can't eat. Will I give up my allegiance to Christ because I can't find food? Nakedness, I can't even buy clothing. And that's a deeper nakedness, not just the nakedness of a physical nature, but spiritual nakedness. I'm losing the garment of righteousness. Peril, what do I do next? Or the sword, the instrument of persecution. From the time that Satan led one-third of the angels to be separated from God, his focus for humanity has been the same. Darkness before dawn, page 39. Look at paragraph 3. Powerful quotation. Here's what we are told. When the testing time shall come, and we're living in the testing time now, my brethren. Don't ever think of life going back to normal. When the testing time shall come, those who have made God's word their rule of life will be revealed. Wow. So right now, while you're sitting at home, don't ignore your Bible, because the time is coming when you train like an Olympic, like an athlete, when you train in the privacy of your home, when it's time to run the race of faith, they'll be able to tell whether or not you've been training in God's word. Don't take this time of sequestering and solitude for granted. Take the time to train in God's word. When the testing time shall come, those who have made God's word their rule of life will be revealed. Why? In the summer, there is no noticeable difference between evergreens and other trees. But when the blast of winter come, the evergreens remain unchanged. While the other trees are stripped of their foliage, so also the false-hearted professor may not now be distinguished from the real Christian. But the time is just upon us when the difference will be apparent. How? Let opposition arise. Opposition. Let bigotry, that's racial intolerance, and intolerance again bear sway. Let persecution be kindled. And the half-hearted and hypocritical will waver and yield the faith. But the true Christian, what kind of Christian? The true Christian will stand firm as a rock, his faith stronger, his hope brighter than in days of prosperity. Let me translate. When the athlete is at home toning those muscles on that treadmill, working it out, and people don't see you for months, they see you months later and say, what happened? You didn't see me, but I was working out. What happened? My brothers and sisters, we got to be working out in Jesus Christ. We got to be working out in God's word. We got to be spiritually fit. We got to pick up the bread of life, only bread that can nourish our spiritual muscle and give sinew to our bones and allow the Spirit of God to put us back together. We got to be exercising, because when we stand on the trial of life, when we stand and see whether or not we can endure to the end, only those who are fortified in God's word will stand when the wintry blast of tests comes upon the church. In this time of social separation, we must be spiritually connected to Christ. It is now that we are to make our commitment to stand as concrete and as permanent as God's word is. That's why Paul asked the question in Romans 8 and verse 37. He looks at the society around us and he says these words. Look what he says. Crisis, violence, no water, no food, the necessities of life missing. But he says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why? How can we conquer? Because he is saying the real athlete doesn't need a lot of stuff. The real athlete is laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets. Look at an athlete when they run. They wear the lightest garments, the lightest clothing, the lightest running shoes. They are laying aside the cumbersome things so that they can run that race with focus and patience. They've got their eyes set on the finish line. They are pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Let me say it this way. I'm not looking at the environment going back to the way it was before. I'm looking for the end of the race to lead me into the kingdom of God. I'm not looking back for a bank that can sustain my credit limit or a higher credit rating. It's a good thing for this life, but no credit rating can get me ready for the kingdom of God. I'm not looking to the movie theaters opening up and the sporting events and the basketball season coming back and the baseball season. Those are great accoutrements for this life, but none of them can get you ready for the kingdom ahead of you. Only those that are established on God's word will make it through the final race. And all these things, we are more than conquerors. That word conquerors means we are victorious. How? Not through finance or social or financial or political or even religious. We are conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. So let me ask you a pertinent question as I begin to close. Is your lifestyle more important than your salvation? Is worldly acceptance more important than being identified with Jesus? Lifestyle. Some people miss the bars. Some people miss the clubs. Oh, I was so sad when I saw on YouTube somebody, not on YouTube, but on Facebook, somebody put, "I miss the strip clubs. When are they opening again?" I thought to myself, Lord, have mercy. How can a time of such solemnness result in such dark and degraded passions? Somebody's waiting for the clubs to open up again. Somebody's waiting for the movie theaters to open up again. Is your lifestyle more important than your salvation? Will you surrender to the powers of earth when the tests come, or will you commit to Christ? Are you ready for the greater test, or are you ignoring the call of God? Have you noticed how quiet the world is? Like that young prophet Samuel, when he thought that Eli was calling him, he kept hearing in the quietude of the night a voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he kept going to Eli and said, "Did you call me?" He said, "I didn't call you." "Twice, did you call me?" "I heard you." "I didn't call you." He said, "Next time you hear that voice, brothers and sisters, when you hear the voice of God in the quietude of this environment that's been shut down by God, say these words, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth.'" Why? Because only the servants of God will be given the secrets of the kingdom. Only the servants of God will have an assurance that cannot be shaken by the social, political, financial, and religious environment developing around us. Only the servant of God will be sustained in the time of storm. Yes, these are the days of separation, but more than that, I got some good news. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. The Lord says in Malachi 4 and verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." If you think that COVID-19 is anything, if you don't get ready, friends, the days that are ahead of us, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, when buildings built for the security and the boast of its builder begin to crumble around our feet, when cities are permanently shut down, no chance of them ever opening again, and the only kingdom that will rise to the surface is the kingdom of God. When the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of our Lord and of our Christ, and only His kingdom reigns forever and ever, where will you stand? These are the days of Elijah. What does that mean? When John the Baptist was saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," somebody said, "Who is that?" Jesus said, "What did you go out to see? A man in goodly clothing? What did you go out to see? What did you go out to see?" And they said, "Well, who is this guy?" "Well, some say he's Elijah." "Oh," Jesus said, "he's not Elijah. But if you accept his message, he is the Elijah that is to come." What does that mean? The Elijah message, not the resurrection of a physical man. There will be a resurrection, but when Jesus comes, he's not going to bring back Elijah to carry on campaigns around the world. No. But the message that Elijah proclaimed to Ahab is the message that God is saying to us to proclaim to you and to the world. What is that message? When Elijah stood before Ahab, Ahab was seeking to end Elijah's life. Who was Ahab? A man chosen of God, but he linked himself with a politically religious woman named Jezebel, and his commitment to God was distorted. So Elijah came and presented himself before Ahab, and Ahab said to him, "You're the one. You're the one that's causing all the trouble in Israel." And Elijah stood back and said, "No, I'm not. You are the one that's causing the conflict in God's church because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord." My brother and my sister, If you love the Lord, you'll keep his commandments. There'll be no excuses, not because of your church saying it, but Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Elijah message, the three angels' message is about to grow to an all-time cataclysmic and spiritual, I'm looking for the word, Lord, give it to me, an apex. This message will lighten the world with the glory of God. And God is saying, this is the hour that we must ask the question. Because friends, it's going to get more dreadful. Why? Because just before Jesus comes, the great and dreadful day of the Lord will precede it. The world may be on lockdown, but sin is about to be locked up. Praise God for that. The church doors may be closed, but the doors of salvation are still open. Don't just lament the COVID deaths, but answer the call for eternal life. In this time of separation from the world, this is what God is calling us to do. Separate from the world and its vices. In this time of separation, separate from the life that drags you down. Separate from the pleasures that tear you down. And make up your mind, I'm going to remain inseparable. Will I survive the shaking? Only if you're in Christ. Will I survive the shakedown? Only if you are in Christ. Remain unseparated from God's word and remain inseparable from Jesus Christ. And when you do that, my brother, when you do what God has called you to do, my sister, young lady, young man, when you follow the leading of God's Spirit, then you'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul these words as I close. He says, listen to what he says. Listen to the words of this apostle. When he did all he must do, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, did you hear that? Nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Inseparable? Yes. On the foundation of truth? Inseparable? Yes. On the resurrected promises of Christ? Inseparable? Yes. On the promises of Jesus' soon return? Yes. We can remain inseparable. My brother, my sister, you may be sequestered in your one-bedroom apartment. You may be at home by yourself, but I'm seeing you today. We serve a risen Savior. Yes, this is the Easter weekend. We serve the God who has an empty tomb. His address may be all over Bethlehem, but there's one place that he's getting a mansion ready for you and me. We serve the risen Savior. He's getting your robes sewn, your mansion built. Remain inseparable. These are the days of Elijah. He's coming soon. Don't be distracted. Don't allow your desire to be for the world to go back to how it was. Say, I'm getting ready for the next world. I'm looking forward to a kingdom who has builder and maker is God. I am getting ready. My ears are tuned. I'm listening for the angel's wings calling me and for the trumpet saying, Jesus is coming again. Oh, my brother and my sister, who are you today? Who are you today? Inseparable? Will you survive the shaking? In Christ Jesus, we can all survive. You know why? One day the COVID will be over. One day we're going to hear the news broadcast, the COVID is finished. One day we're going to hear sin is finished. One day we're going to hear violence is finished. One day we are going to hear all funerals are finished. All the vices of the world is finished. That's why when we hear these words, we're going to say, it is finished. And Jesus is Lord. My brother, my sister, let me encourage you with these words. Yes, there's an empty tomb, but I'm looking forward to something better than an empty tomb. I'm looking forward to the day when I can see my Savior face to face. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord today. Be encouraged. Be inseparable. Stay in your Bible. Stay on your knees. Stay in God's word because the best is yet to come. COVID-19, what is that? The cross of Christ already defeated COVID-19. Jesus rose from the grave. All the imps of hell could not keep him in there. COVID-19 is a blip on the radar of God's prophetic timetable. When it's over, the best is yet to come. Stand with the Lord who has an empty tomb. Listen as God encourages your heart. It is finished. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that COVID-19 is not the last, is not the defeating power. COVID-19 is not the fear of heaven. But your word, your truth, the empty tomb, has said to us, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of every trial and tribulation. Jesus is Lord above the difficulties of life. Jesus is Lord above the days of lack and the days of plenty. Jesus is Lord in an environment where the world is racked and confused and without answers. Jesus is the answer for the social disparity. Jesus is the answer for the financial lack. Jesus is above the kings of the earth. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. And the government is upon his shoulder. Father, I pray that in this environment where our faith is being tested, in this setting where we are sequestered and there's only one voice heard in our apartment, in this environment where families are being challenged, where marriages are being challenged, Lord, I pray for the husband and the wife. This COVID-19 environment has forced husbands and wives to talk to each other. I pray, Lord, that as they communicate, they can find the foundation upon which to build their hopes, and that foundation is Christ. I pray for the mothers and the children. Mothers have become instant teachers, and fathers have become sequestered away from their jobs, and there's not much rolling in financially. Bread lines along, cars are backed up for miles, as it were, in Los Angeles and many major cities looking for food and relief. Hospital beds are filled. Lord, I thank you for the glimmer of hope in some of these cities. I thank you that we're seeing, as it were, maybe soon and very soon, this terrible scourge, this pandemic will finally pass over. But Father, even when it does, may the people of God not relax, but may we make our call and election sure. I pray for that person that's watching this broadcast. I pray that somewhere somebody is saying, Lord, I understand now. I understand that this has not caught you by surprise, but today I'm making my decision. Today I'm giving my life to you, Lord Jesus. Today I want to commit myself to you. I want to be your child. I want to be in that kingdom that where there is no disease and no death, no suffering, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. I want to be in that kingdom where there is no lack of funds, where there is no lack of food, where there is no lack of security, and where the gates don't need to be shut, because only the Lord Jesus and the Father of our universe will reign supreme on the throne. So, Lord Jesus, if there's somebody watching this broadcast who needs to make a decision for Christ, if you're watching, I pray, my brother, my sister, just go to that website I told you, tvsdac.org. Click the link and send us your information. We'll try to find a church in your area. Send us your name. We'll put you on our prayer list. God is concerned about your safety. God is concerned about your future. I don't just want to encourage you, but I want you to know that the best is yet to come. And so, Lord Jesus, may we remain inseparable. May in this time of shaking, we stand on the sure foundation. And when all of the woes of life on this earth are done, may we know that the best is just beginning. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and everything that offended your kingdom is finally finished. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise. Thank you for the faith. May we be faithful to that end. And this I ask in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Friends, God bless you. God bless you.